Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
John chapter 15, which you know well, and which you will know even better in a few minutes. I am the true vine, and my Father tends this vine. He cuts out every branch in me that does not produce fruit. Even the fruitful branches he carefully prunes, so that in future they will bear even more fruit. You have already been pruned through the words I have spoken to you. Stay living in me, and I will continue to live in you. It is impossible for any branch to be fruitful if it is separated from the vine. It has to continue to live in the vine. In the same way, it would be impossible for you to bear fruit if you were not to remain living in me. I am the vine, you are the branches in the vine. Anyone who continues to live in me and I in him will be abundantly fruitful. But outside of me, you can do absolutely nothing. Hallelujah. Abide in me, live in me, stay in me, and I in you. I brought my tea this morning, but not to drink. One packet of sugar. Just like that. No, it's not one of those. Sugar in the tea. Where's the sugar? Where's the tea? Separate the sugar for me. You can't, because the sugar's in the tea. If the tea is Jesus and you're the sugar, or if you're the tea and Jesus is the sugar, you get the same result. That's you. You in Christ, Christ in you, made one, inseparable, because of the blood of the Lamb. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, another very well-known scripture. I'm going to read from the middle of verse 14. We are convinced that he died for all, and therefore all have died with him. But if he died for all, it means that those of us who have received his risen life should no longer live for ourselves, but for the one who died and was raised again for us. So from this point onwards, we will not assess anyone by worldly standards. We used to have a worldly view of Christ, but that is no longer the case. Now we are sure. Say, we are sure.
We are sure.
Say, I am sure.
I am sure.
That if anyone, say anyone.
Anyone.
Is in Christ. Say, I am in Christ.
I am in Christ.
Made one with him.
Made one with him.
That wasn't very convincing. Made one with him.
Made one with him.
What does it say? Now we are sure that if anyone is in Christ, made one with him by their faith in him, then that person is a new creation. Do you believe you're a new creation? Stand to your feet then. Lift your hands and just praise God that you're a new creation. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. I am a new creation. I live in Christ. Christ lives in me. I am made one with him. Nothing can separate me from him. Oh, I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. Nothing in the whole of creation can separate me from your love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. The old person he was has died. Say, I have died. That person you were when you were born no longer exists. Hallelujah. The old person he was has died, is buried. Say, I have been buried.
I'm buried.
When I was baptized, I was buried with Christ.
I was
Come on, stand up and praise the Lord that you're dead and buried with Christ. The old has gone. The old has gone. The old has gone. The old has gone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pora la basata pakalasito ba. Paparazata parazata pakalasito ba. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, you may be seated. The old person he was has died, is buried, and finished with, gone forever. Who knows that what has died can't live? That old life that once you had cannot live. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's gone forever. That's why there's no looking back. There's no turning back. You'll never find any answers in the past, only in Jesus. Now you have a new life. I'm only reminding you of what you know well. But remember, it's not what you know that matters, but whether you live in what you know. The old has gone. Say it's gone.
It's gone.
It's gone. Forever. It can't live. Because it's buried with Christ.
Come on.
Come on. Thank you, Father. Yes. Thank you,
Jesus. Hallelujah. You might see a dead man sit up, but you'll never see a buried man sit up.
That's true.
Pastor Judith is a very spiritual woman. She got the revelation. Yes. The rest of you are 5 minutes behind her. Hallelujah. So you have this new life. But what is this new life? Is it a new you? Well, yes, you are now a new creation. What is this new creation? What is this new you? Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is your new life. That's why he took you to the cross. That's why he crucified you with him. That's why he took you into the tomb so that you would be buried with him. But he emerged from the tomb to be your life.
Yes.
Now the scripture talks of Christ in us. Let's take this personally for each one of us. Christ in me, Christ in you. But if we see our new life simply in those terms, then we're going to limit him. We're always going to limit him by who we are and what we are, what we perceive ourselves to be. But if we understand that the new life is not Christ in me, but Christ himself. Now, of course, he's had to put his life in me. He's had to put his life in you. But you see, if I think of having to do things myself, I haven't died. And my whole perception of the new life is where Christ has to work through me with all my limitations, with all my fears, doubts, and inadequacies. Now that's going to seriously limit him. Because that's saying the Christ in me has to be smaller than me. He's going to be limited by me. He's going to be compromised by me. But if I know I have died and been buried, if I know that he is the new creation, that as the scripture says, he is my wisdom, he is my righteousness, he is my holiness, he is my life, he is my victory, he is my power, he is my future, he is my all in all, he is the one who has made me complete, that I am complete in him, then there's no limitations. I realize then he does not need to be limited by me, by myself. So I need a radical change in my thinking, that my whole perception is not simply that Christ is going to work through me in all my weakness and frailty and humanity, but Jesus died, took me to the cross, took me to the tomb, raised me with him that he might be my new life. Not I, but Christ. This is why Peter says that we share, participate in the divine nature through his very great and precious promises. I am one with him. That's what the cross is all about. We call it the atonement, the at-one-ment. So I don't have to strive to change. God's purpose was never to change me. He took one look at me and he said, you're not worth changing, you're only worth dying. So I'll kill you off and give you a new life called Christ, the anointed one. And you can see that the new life is a vast improvement on the old. Because nothing is impossible for him. And he is my new life. So Jesus didn't come to change me. He came to exchange his life for mine. So you give your life to me, he says, and I give my life to you, which means I become your life. Yes. Revival is a very simple matter. It's simply living the gospel. It's simply living the whole gospel. Living the word and not some interpretation of the word that limits God. Revival is God working beyond any of the limitations of his people, of individuals, or even of his church. He moves in and takes over because that is what his people want him to do. They give up trying to serve him, trying to be what he wants them to be. They realize, well, there's no way that I can be who he wants me to be by trying to change myself or by trying to do what he wants. All I have to do is to keep out of his way. It's not I, but Christ. So then my weakness doesn't matter. Even my past failures don't limit or inhibit him. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday or last year or the year before, because all that's under the blood. All that matters is Christ is my life today. Therefore, there is no limit to what he can do in my life today or what he can do in the circumstances in which he places me today. If my attitude is, well, Lord, use me, he will use me, but I will limit him. I will limit him by my usability. Are you there? Whatever he can do through me will be dependent upon where I am in terms of relationship with him at that very moment. But if I realize, wait a minute, God does not depend upon me to do what he needs to do. He's just put me in a particular situation with the fullness of his life to release that fullness into those circumstances. To release his life, his love, his power, his victory, whatever it may be. But if my attitude is, well, he's got to do it through me, I'm always going to limit him. He's limited by me. But if I realize you're so much greater than I am, Lord, why should I limit you? Why should I limit what you're going to do? Why should I limit you what you're going to do this morning in this meeting? See, it's not about my preaching. It's about him.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Are we breathing? Yes. You see, if I think it's going to depend upon me or God working through me, have I died? Well, yes, because that happened on the cross. But am I reckoning myself as dead? Because that's what Paul says we have to do. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So I better keep all the flesh out of the way and let the Spirit free. So if I want God to do it through me, what's that? Is that pride? Well, Lord, you can't do it without me. Is it unbelief? I can only trust you to do it if you do it through me. Is it deception? Thinking that somehow it depends on me. Well, you might say, Christ has come to live in me. But has he come to live in you to be limited by you? Has he come to live in you for your sake? So that you can have a better Christian life? So you can believe you are saved? Or has he come to live in you so that you would take his presence into any and every situation, and he gets released far beyond your limitations? Because you don't believe that it has to be done through you. See, I'm talking about revival. Call it what you like. It's the gospel. This is the gospel.
Yeah, that's right.
This is the good news.
Yeah. Yeah.
The good news is it doesn't depend upon you.
Yeah.
That's the good news. Because there are so many Christians living in bondage because they think it depends upon them. And they're doing everything they can to change themselves, to improve themselves, to live the kind of life that they think God wants them to live. That's Old Testament. It's not New Testament. That's how the Jews lived for hundreds of years and failed God constantly. Because anybody who tries to change himself will fail. Just remember, Saul of Tarsus, before he became Paul the Apostle, Saul of Tarsus was a very, very, very religious man. He was utterly convinced that he was doing the right thing in persecuting the church. Because as far as he was concerned, he lived such a righteous life. But God blinded him for 3 days. God blinded him for 3 days. Because it was the only way to teach him how blind he'd been. Of course, God's purpose was to open his eyes. And 3 days of blindness was a good way to encourage someone to repent. So, God doesn't like blinding people, but he can give us a little bit of encouragement when we're stubbornly resisting his will. But you see, he gloriously transformed Saul into Paul. He gloriously filled him with the Spirit. He gloriously healed him, so the scales fell from his eyes. But you see, the scales had fallen from his spiritual eyes.
Right. Yeah.
not just his human eyes. And suddenly he saw. He saw the truth. I spent all these years trying to be the person God wanted me to be and failed. I even persecuted those who weren't trying anymore to be good Jews. Whereas I came to realize they were the ones with the light. They'd given up trying to change themselves. They'd given up striving and struggling and straining in their own strength. I thought they were crazy. I thought they were wrong. I thought they should be killed because they were undermining the faith. And they were the ones that had it right. They'd given up trying. So Paul came to understand what those first believers understood. It's not I, but Christ. He is my life. He is my love. He is my wisdom. He is my righteousness. He is my holiness. I don't have any righteousness of my own. What a waste of time trying to be righteous. If Christ is my righteousness. He is my holiness. He is my holiness. If I have him, I have holiness. I have righteousness. I have life. I have power. I have victory. I have him. So I have all that he is. And he is so much bigger than me, why should I limit him? Because I'm thinking, well, you've got to do it through me. Use me, Lord. Yeah, that's okay for babies. That's all right for baby Christians who don't understand any better. But we are called to maturity. And the mature don't say, use me. The mature say, Lord, I can't do anything. I can't do anything apart from you. Can't do anything. I prayed that before this. I prayed before every meeting. Lord, I can't do anything. I've got nothing to say. Apart from you, I can do nothing. Say it every day of my life. Every time I preach, every time I minister. Lord, I can't do anything. I don't think, oh, Lord, I'm going in there. I'm going to preach a hot sermon this morning. Oh, you're going to use my sermon. You're going to, oh, Lord, you're going to do such a great work. No, no, I can't do anything. I've got nothing to say. I can't do anything. Can't heal a butterfly. But nothing's impossible for you, Lord. We were celebrating 20 years of the church on Sunday, Kingdom Faith Church. This church was birthed out of a prayer. Lord, take everything out of our hands. That was how we prayed. We had several weeks of prayer leading up to those 22 days, and all through those days of prayer, we were praying, Lord, just take everything out of the hands of man. Dangerous prayer, because in most churches, pastors and leaders want to keep control. I don't mean that they're necessarily controlling. I mean, there are churches like that. You want to avoid those. But, you know, it's a secure thing if you can actually manage everything. But in revival, God takes everything out of man's hands. No longer is the way the Spirit moving limited by men or women. He moves not because of us, but despite us. In revival, you stand back and watch what He is doing. You know, in the recent years, it has been said that there's been revival in this place, that place, and, you know, people have got planes going. And I've watched the videos, and I thought, well, that's not revival. Not as I've seen it. Because man is still controlling. Yes, God is working, but God is still working through men. Lord, what You have shown me is the greatest things happen when You move without us. Oh, we have our part to play because we pray and we believe and we trust God to do that. We do a lot of pray in revival. But there's a lot of faith, you see. The faith is, I can't do anything. So why try? But if I leave the field open to You, Lord, nothing is impossible for You. There's no limitation to what You can do. Now, you see, God has to work through us till we come to that point where we're ready for Him to work without us or beyond us. Yeah. That's the greater thing still. Yeah. Why? Because then there's no limits. If we're going to do greater things than Jesus, there cannot be any limitations. But you see, you will always limit Him. Yeah. I will always limit Him if I think He's going to do it through me. How can I do greater things if I think He's going to do it through me? Are there any believers in the room? Now, of course, there has to come a point where you hand it all over to Him. Because if you say, well, Lord, I'll let You go on doing it through me until such time as You do it without me, that day will never come. Because you're still busy letting Him work through you. What's God saying to us this morning? He's saying, can you trust Me enough to leave it to Me? Do you think that if you stop with your effort, everything will grind to a halt? Or do you believe that if you stop with your effort, things will take off? because you'll give me space. You'll give me much more room. But it's a bit scary, isn't it? When you're so used to God working through you, it's a bit scary to say, oh, well, wait a minute, Lord, wait a minute. There's certain things that have got to be organized. Oh, says the builder of the church, such as? Are you saying that you can organize things better than I can arrange them? Makes you think, doesn't it? A lot of opposition out there. A lot of people want to hinder what God would do. A lot of criticism out there. But of course, if you've died, it doesn't matter. It doesn't affect you, it doesn't influence you. Hello? And you know, if they're directing their criticism at God and what he's doing, then you can leave it to him to deal with those that are critical. You don't have to, he will. See, the amazing thing is that when Jesus came, he identified with us completely, didn't he? That's why he was baptized right at the beginning of his ministry. He identified with us. He didn't need to be baptized, but he was identifying with us because he was going to be our substitute on the cross. But you see, he identified with us completely so that now we are completely identified with him.
Amen.
If we are seated in heavenly places with him, what does that mean? It means we're over and above all the opposition and the conflicts and all that's going on in the world. We're above. We look down upon these things. We don't think, oh, we're in the middle of a battle and a struggle. We look down upon that. We look from the advantage point of victory. Because the victory has already been won. And he's given us power and authority over all the powers of the evil one. Nothing is going to harm us if we trust in him. Are you understanding what I'm saying this morning? Or rather, what he's saying to all of us? Because I'm on the receiving end of this message just as much as you are. God is addressing us all as his people. Saying, right, it's time for me to take over. That's what he's saying. Not just time for me to move, not just time for me to anoint, not just time for me to bless, not just time for me to bring a few stragglers into the kingdom and heal a few people and do a few miracles so that people know I'm alive and something's happening around here. No, it's time for me to take over. But I can only take over if you let me. If that's what you want. If that's what you're prepared for. And that's a word to each of us personally. It's a word to all of us corporately. That's why, of course, God gave you his spirit. That's why Christ is in you. I mean, it's a bit silly, isn't it? I mean, if there's Christ and there's you, and you do it and not him. I mean, wouldn't it be better if he did it rather than you doing it?
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't that be better? And you might say, but Lord, I mean, what's the purpose of that? Because that makes me redundant. It says, no. It makes you one of the most enlightened people on the face of the earth.
Right.
Because in my church all over the world, there are very few that will leave me to do it.
Right.
Yes. But I can't take over like that unless you let me.
Yeah.
Unless you want me to. Now, you see, this is where the flesh kicks in. First says, well, what's it going to mean if I pass the control of my life over to Christ in that way? What's it going to mean for the church if we as a church do that? Well, you won't know until you do it. Do you think God is going to give you an explanation or a whole series of incentives? No, it's like, you see, you know what the new life is about now. You've tasted the new birth, you've tasted the new life, but before you were born again, you didn't know what it was going to be like. And you might have prevaricated, you know, you might have for some time delayed making that decision to really turn your life over to God. But once you'd done that, then you discovered what the new life and what He is all about. And you say, oh, this is wonderful. Why did I delay so long before? Well, what I'm talking to you about this morning is just the same kind of principle. You're not going to know what it's like till you do it. But you see, then the Spirit of God will move in an altogether different way from now. And I'm not preaching this message just because it would be a good thing to do that, but because this is God's appointed time. He's just telling us, okay, I brought you thus far. Look what He's just done in the last 10 days or so. It's been amazing. But God's saying, this is nothing. These are just the preliminaries that we're going through now. Four Sundays of harvest? Harvest? I think if it's going to be harvest, we better let God take over. Otherwise, we're going to think, well, it's down to somebody preaching the right evangelistic message and somebody making the right kind of calls, somebody making the right kind of invitation, somebody counseling correctly afterwards. Seems a lot of man effort in that to me. I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful if people just got born again where they were standing? Because the Spirit of God just descended upon the whole thing and people didn't need ministry afterwards because they were getting delivered and set free, and they might not understand what happened to them, but it was happening because God was doing it without us, or because we believed that He would do it without us. I'm not saying that that's how God is going to move in the next four Sundays, but I'm saying that's how God could move in the next four Sundays. That kind of fruitfulness is far greater than what we see now. And just consider this. If we see a certain measure of blessing and fruitfulness through what we're seeing now, what makes us think that it's going to be any different in the coming weeks if we still do what we do now? If there's going to be a greater harvest, if there's going to be a greater moving of the Spirit, if when you guys go out into people's homes next week, you don't just paint walls and dig gardens, but you see lives changed, then something has got to happen. It doesn't mean that there's got to be a fresh anointing or anything like that. It simply means that we've got to come to the realization, hang on, it doesn't depend upon me. It's all about Him. And we can go into homes and see lives transformed. We can see, yes, healings and things like that. But how much better to see new life? How much better to see people coming under conviction of sin? How much better people just opening up and not even knowing why they're opening up, and you being surprised that they're opening up? Because it hasn't depended upon how well you painted the wall or how nicely you dug the garden, but because the Spirit of God has gone there before you.
Amen.
Not I, but Christ. It's a challenge. Because we're so used to thinking, got to do it through me. That it's quite difficult to stop thinking like that and stop acting like that. So it's like a couple of weeks ago when I got you guys to pray for one another, and I said, now, don't use any of your words. You know, just believe God to do, and so on. And I looked around and so many of you were jabbering away and praying away, doing your thing as usual. Well, that's how we're used to doing it. That's how we always do it. Well, if I don't pray, God won't do it. Really? So it all depends upon your prayer and not Him. Hello? No, it doesn't depend upon my prayer. It depends upon faith. Well, what about the faith of just trusting Him to do it without you saying anything? Which is what you were asked to do, because that's what the Spirit was asking us to do, you see. Difficult, isn't it? When you're so used to, no, He's got to do it. I've got to pray the right words. I've got to pray the right prayer. I've got to bring some word from God. I've got to prophesy. I've got to speak into the situation. No. Shut up. Just shut up. I say that in the nicest way. But what I'm talking about is here's a change of mentality. I think the time is right for this. Don't you? Do we have a common witness of the Spirit? Well, let's get to our feet. We haven't quite finished yet, but let's get to our feet. Now, let me just remind you, as you begin to pray now, it's not about your ministry, see? It really is not about your ministry. It's about His ministry. See, it's about His ministry. Now, what's your part? Your part is just to minister to Him and leave Him to do the rest. So just lift your hands, lift your voice, start praising Him. Now, listen to me. Otherwise, you won't know what to do, will you? I want you to praise Him for who He is. Don't want you just to jabber away in tongues. Use your own language and praise Him for who He is. Just keep thanking him that he is your life, he is your love, he is your power, he is your righteousness, he is your wisdom, he is your strength, he is your provider, he is your healer. Just keep going as long as you can. Doesn't matter if you repeat yourself several times, but just lift your hands, lift your heart, lift your voice, and praise him for who he is. Praise the Lord. Now just begin to thank him that he needs you. He doesn't need you to work through you. He needs you to trust him. To trust him to do it. To trust him to move. Right? That it doesn't depend upon you, it depends upon him, but he needs you to trust him. So just lift your hands again and just begin to thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you've called me to a life of faith.
Thank you, God.
Thank you that you've called me to trust you, Lord. That it's not by might or power, but by your Spirit. Not by anything I can do, but only through what you do. Thank you, Lord, you've called me to trust you, that you need a people who will trust you to do it. Thank you that you've called us to be a people of real faith. I just feel the Lord is saying, I need you to trust me. I need you to trust me. Come on, just respond to that. Respond to that in your own life personally. We'll pray for the church in a moment, but just pray about it at a personal level for this moment. I need you to trust me. I need you to trust me. So what does that mean? It means you entrust yourself to him. You can say, thank you, Lord, I'm the sugar in the tea. I can't be separated from you. And you can't be separated from me. I live in you and you live in me. So, Lord, I trust you. I trust you in my life. I trust you for my life. I trust you, Lord, to do it. You to do it. Now, thank the Lord for surprises. See, he's going to surprise you at what he does because you trust him. You're surprised. Wow. Goodness me, that's so much bigger. That's so much greater than anything he could have done through me in that situation. I trusted him and he did it. He moved. He transformed that life. He saved that person. He healed that body. He transformed that life. He did it. He did it. He did it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for many, many, many surprises. Great and wonderful surprises. Hallelujah. Now we're just going to thank the Lord
in another way. You see, if you leave him to do it, that's purely the Spirit, isn't it? Hello? And the Spirit is supernatural, right? So if he does it, that's going to be completely spiritually supernatural. If he does it through you, there's going to be a mixture of the spiritual and the natural, of the supernatural and the normal. Well, that's good because God can do mighty things through you, but it's not going to be as mighty as when he does it without the natural and without the normal, just because. You understand what I'm saying? Can we believe God to do that? Come on, let's thank God that the greater things still are going to happen. We'll do the same things as Jesus because of the way he works through us, but we're going to see the greater things still because he's going to do it without us. Hallelujah. Because we trust him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's hear it. Oh, rata parazata paria leto bakarasita. Balata paria lero bakarasita di sataria lero bakarasita. Bambarazataria lero bakarasita di sataria lero bakarasita. Oh, hallelujah. Now, thank him, you're going to see evidence of this next week when you go out and start serving in the community. You're going to see God move. Hallelujah. Spirit of God is going to come upon people. Spirit of God is going to move in people's hearts. It's not just about painting walls and digging gardens. It's about Christ, the hope of glory. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, rata parazata parazato. Hallelujah. Now thank him that the old is gone. The old way of thinking is gone. You see, if I think it depends upon me, me is still at the center. All right? But if I say, well, apart from him, I can do nothing, so I'm not going to try to do it myself, then he's going to be in the center, isn't he? Come on, so let's thank him. I'm not the center. He's the center. The old way of thinking is passing away. God is renewing my mind so that I know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Pura la bazata bare azata bakala sitari sarata bakala sitari sandama. Baratapari alero bakara sitri satari alero bakara sitapa. Bambarazatari alero bakara sitri satapa. Okay, now let's just be still for a moment. I want you to listen. Years ago, when I was teaching these things, God gave a word that really proved to be so, so significant for us at that time. He said, I want you to be as the angels in heaven. And he explained, the angels in heaven surround his throne with worship and praise and adoration. But then the Lord sends them. They're messengers, aren't they? Yeah. And when he sends them from his presence, they always accomplish that for which they're sent. They go and fulfill the commission that they're given, And then they return to give praise around the throne. And he said to us, I want you to be like that, a praising people, and I send you. But because I send you, I go with you, and I do. I watch over my word to perform it. But, you know, I cause that for which I send you to happen, to take place. I do it. I just send you as my messenger into the situation so I can do it. Not so the angels can do it or you can do it, but so he can do it. You take his presence, you take that faith that says, Lord, you can move here. You can do this. Is anybody still at the same meeting that I'm at? Okay, come on, let's thank the Lord then. Just praise him. Say, thank you, Lord, that you've made us a people of praise. You've made us an apostolic people, a sent people. Thank you, we can be as the angels. Wherever you send us, you will go before us, you will go with us, and you will work because we will trust you in that situation. We won't think it depends upon us, but we're just taking your presence. We're taking that faith in you. We're taking that trust in you. We're taking that love that you have for those people to whom you send us. And we're going to see you do it, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, let's praise him. Let's thank him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, in those situations, will God use you? Yes, he'll use you, but not in the way that you're used to being used. You see, you will find yourself saying things that you didn't know. And you will find yourself doing things that you can't do. Not just speaking out of your knowledge and experience and all that you've learned here, but you will just find that the supernatural anointing of God's Spirit will be upon you. But it won't be dependent upon that. It'll just be part of that. He'll be moving and he'll use you in whatever way he wants. But not because it depends upon you, but because you're trusting him. And of course, God next week is just preparing you for your placements. Because you're going to take the dynamic of Christ into those churches where you go. So come on, let's just lift our hands and praise him again. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, when we had that amazing time the Sunday before last, one of the things we did was to sow our lives, didn't we, in a fresh way. Just thank the Lord that you've sown your life. Not that you need to, but you have. Thank him that the seed has fallen into the ground and died. Huh? And he is the plant that comes forth out of that seed. See, you in Christ and Christ in you. He is that part. You're inseparable from him. Hallelujah. Come on, can we be thankful for that? Much fruit. Much fruit. Much fruit that lasts. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
God, you're wonderful.
Hallelujah. Okay, so it all depends on the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? Now you have a spirit. I don't know whether you noticed, but as we were praying at the beginning of the meeting, I was just calling on the Holy Spirit. Because you see, that's really the secret, that you just turn everything over to the Holy Spirit. Everything over to the anointing. He is the anointing. Yeah. Come on, let's just lift our hands and just call on the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit will not only be released in a fresh way through your life and pour out of you as rivers of living water, but the Holy Spirit will just come and take control. Hallelujah. That in every situation where you go into, it'll be the Holy Spirit who will be in charge. The Holy Spirit will be moving. The Holy Spirit will give you words to speak. The Holy Spirit will move. The Holy Spirit will act. Oh, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Oh, yes. Come on, the Holy Spirit wants to move here now. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Pura la bazata pari aleroba. O paparazata pari aleroba karasitoba. Bala la bazatari aleroba karasito risatuba. O paparazata barazata barazitaba. Bazatari aleroba karasito risandoma. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, now we're going to pray for those four coming Sundays. Where people are going to especially bring those who need to get saved, those who need the Lord. Come on. But we're not going to pray. Listen. Somebody once pointed out to me, nowhere in the whole of the New Testament do people pray for the unsaved. And often, you know, in situations like this, we want to pray for the unsaved. But actually what we need to do is to pray for the Spirit to move, so that every one of the unsaved gets zapped. Yes. Amen? Yeah, you can pray for the... I'm not saying you shouldn't pray for the people that are coming. Of course you should. But what I'm saying is it doesn't depend upon your prayer for them. It depends upon the Spirit. And that's where we need to put the emphasis. So come on, let's pray now that what we will see is a sovereign move of God's Spirit on each one of those Sunday mornings. That the Spirit will move in such a sovereign way, the Spirit will move in such power that every unsaved person comes under conviction of sin, every unsaved person comes to repentance and faith, every unsaved person gets truly born again, truly born again, because of the powerful way in which the Spirit of God is moving. Now, just learn from a scripture here. We know that great things were happening in Jerusalem as a result of the Spirit coming, but the opposition was increasing, so the brethren came together and they prayed. And they said, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." That seems the right thing to pray, doesn't it? But God answered them in a way they didn't expect. God did what they didn't ask for. They were praying for the results. And the Lord was saying, by his response, if you want those results, this is what needs to happen. So after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now, they'd already been filled in chapter 2. And none of them say, "Lord, you shouldn't have done that again. We were filled in chapter 2. We're now in chapter 4. Well, you see, some people say that you can only receive the Holy Spirit once. Well, God doesn't understand that. I don't know where people got that from, but God doesn't understand that kind of thinking, because he knew that he'd filled them in Acts chapter 2. And yet, the Spirit of God came upon them again. Now, I'm not saying what we need now is a building shaking experience. But what God is teaching us through this is it all depends upon his Spirit. That's why we pray, "Lord," you know, the focus isn't upon just the anointing on the preaching or the anointing on those who are ministering or just praying for the people there. Because God says, "Well, if you want to speak the word with boldness, if you want to see my hand stretch out to heal, if you want to see miraculous signs, it all depends upon my Spirit." It depends upon me, not you, see? This is what I've been preaching all morning. This is what God has been saying to us all morning. It depends upon him. If we're going to see the results. Amen? So come on, let's just pray now that the Holy Spirit will move on those four Sundays beyond anything that you have ever seen in your experience. You see, if you dare to believe that, he'll do that. We don't want just a little bit of the Spirit's evidence. We want to see the Spirit of God move like we've never seen him move before. Doesn't matter how he does it, what it looks like, but everyone will know that was the Spirit of God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, we thank you, Lord, for the moving of your Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to move in such sovereign power. We thank you, Lord, that it will not be by might or power. It won't be by what we do. It'll be by what you do. That, Lord, we will just give you space. We'll give you room.
We'll give you the freedom to move in the way that you want to move. And we just give you all the honor and the praise. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to be glorified in the fruit that will come out of those meetings. And we praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, of course, all that can only happen if the unsaved are there. So let's just pray for the Spirit to move now upon every church member. Not just to invite people, bring people, but let's pray for the Spirit of God to move on all those who they invite, all those to whom they speak, that people will know they've got to come. See, that's a work of the Spirit. People will just feel moved. They will just know, somehow I've got to be there. They will find themselves saying yes, even if they want to say no. Come on, let's pray that. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Just move upon every church member. As they invite people, Lord, move upon those people. Holy Spirit, give them that conviction that they must come, they must come, they must come. They must come and see. They must come and hear. Even those, Lord, that formerly have refused, even those who have resisted the gospel, move upon them by your Spirit. Move upon them by your Spirit. Move upon them by your Spirit. Not by might or power, but by your Spirit, Lord. Just move upon. That persuasion won't be needed because your Spirit will do the persuading. Come on, this is all God's timing, you see. It's all God's timing. Yes. Praise you, Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. Now just thank the Lord that every one of those four Sundays we're going to see a move of the Spirit. You see, last Sunday was just a time of rejoicing and thanksgiving, and that was good. That was really, really good. The Sunday before, we had that real trigger moment, that real move of God, that real move of the Spirit that took us to a new dimension. Now, we're going to flow on from that. Praise God. It doesn't matter who's preaching. I'm not going to be here for those four Sundays. I'm away for every one of them. So it certainly doesn't depend upon me. It doesn't depend upon any man. It depends upon the Spirit. See? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Oh. Bless you, Jesus. So we're going to be as those angels in heaven now. We're just going to worship Him for a few minutes. And we're going to have that sense of He's going to send us. Going to send us to people to invite. He's going to send us next week wherever we go to serve. Going to send us to those placements. Oh, hallelujah. But wherever He sends us, it's not just so that He can work through our limitations, but that we can trust Him. And we can trust the Spirit to move in those situations. It'll be great, won't it, to see people being healed, and actually they get healed before your hands get anywhere near them. Hallelujah. God is just sort of sovereignly there, and God is just sovereignly moving. God is sovereignly working. Come on, let's just praise Him now with all of our hearts. Oh, we bless you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We join with the whole company of heaven surrounding your throne, Lord, and we say, to you belongs all the glory, honor, dominion, and power. Oh, yes, forever and ever. Glory be to you and to the Lamb, forever and ever, forever and ever. All the glory belongs to you, Lord. All the glory, all the honor, all the praise, all dominion, all power belongs to you. And we praise you, and we bless you, and we worship you, and we glorify you. We magnify your name. We bless your holy name. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Yes. 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 Now the Lord is saying, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Come on, you've got to learn to move in obedience to the Spirit. If you're going to see the Spirit of God move in the way that we've been saying, then whenever the Spirit tells you to do something, you have to do it. Open your mouth wide now and let Him fill it. He won't fill it just with tongues. You'll begin to prophesy. You'll begin to prophesy over your life. You'll begin to prophesy over your circumstances. You'll begin to prophesy over the things that the situations into which God is going to lead you. Come on, open your mouth wide, says the Lord, and I will fill it. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.